I'm not used to it. Thank you, sir. I'd like to, it's my honor and privilege to show you an 8-minute film about the work God has done in the Philippines through my family and I, and of course, with the churches and friends who have been helping us through the years. Please watch this. Churches. By the grace of God, these are the preachers we sent and the churches they have so far planted. Pastor William Bagawisan, sent out to San Nicolas in 1997, Gateway Ambassador Baptist Church. Pastor Eusebio Galano, Jr., sent out to Sinait in 2002, Ambassador Baptist Mission. Pastor J. Manuel to Curimao in 2003, Countryside Ambassador Baptist Church. Pastor Alex Irise to Marcos in 2004, Mark Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Rogelio Langbayan to Burgos in 2005, Biblical Ambassador Baptist Church. Pastor Eduardo Apostol to Caawakan, Lawag City in 2006, Ambassador Baptist Mission. Pastor Victor Ventura in Vintar in 2007, Christian Ambassador Baptist Church. Pastor Rodel to La Paz, Lawag City in 2008, Ambassador Baptist Mission. Pastor Woody Gavino to Gabo, Lawag City in 2009, Ambassador Baptist Mission. Pastor Ace Lopez to Bangui in 2011, Grace Ambassador Baptist Mission. Pastor Mark Reyes to Pidbig, Ambassador Baptist Mission. We will not stop spreading the gospel. At this time, we have a new batch of young men who are ready to preach the word of God and plant churches. When we go back to the mission field, we will be sending them to plant more churches in other towns of the province of Ilocos Norte. We are also continuing with missionary training of 30 young men and women through our small Bible Institute. In the year 2020, we envision that all the 23 towns of Ilocos Norte province will each have a Bible-believing Baptist church. We are looking forward to seeing those churches in turn plant village churches to further saturate the towns with the gospel. It's also my prayer that our missionaries will not only preach the gospel to our fellow Filipinos, but also to reach out beyond our shores to be living witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. I am excited to see young men and women form our ministries and the churches we planted to answer God's call for them to go as missionaries in other countries in Asia and maybe even in the United States. Nothing is impossible with God. We firmly believe in the global outreach of the local church that Jesus established by the Great Commission of His Gospel. We ask you to remember us in your prayers as we pray that you will be with us in the mission field through any means that the Lord will lead you. These accomplishments that we shared with you in this brief presentation took place because of God's amazing grace. The victories He will allow us to see in the future will only be possible by that same amazing grace. And so we are careful to give back all the glory to God alone for great things He hath done. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'd like now to call my ex-girlfriend because she's my wife now. And we'll try to render a song. We are not good singers, but when God saved us, He put songs in our heart. May we borrow one of your guitars, preacher? With the strap, yeah. I got it.
Everything is different now. I'm not the same anymore. The wrong places I used to go are not the places that I avoid. The old crowd I used to hang around would only try to pull me down. I'm not the same anymore. My life has been changed.
I remember the day before I got saved. I guess no meaning for me. But Jesus came in and saved me from sin. From all the past I am free.
Everything is different now. I'm not the same anymore. The wrong places I used to go are now the places that I avoid. The old crowd I used to hang around would only try to pull me down. I'm not the same anymore. My life has been changed. Jesus gave me a new walk, a brand new road to travel. And he gave me a new thought, a brand new song to sing.
Song to sing.
Everything. Faces that I avoid. The old crowd I used to hang around would only try to pull me down. I'm not the same anymore. My life has been changed. I'm not the same anymore. My life has been changed.
Amen. Let us open our Bible in the book of Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. Again, it's my honor and privilege to stand behind this sacred and sanctified pulpit. And don't worry, I'll not keep you long, because I've heard a lot of elderly and veteran missionaries, and they advise me just to remember the five B's. They said, Brother June, whenever you preach, remember the five B's. What is that, sir? Be brief, brother, be brief. So I'll be brief tonight. And just recently in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a preacher advised me to remember the three S's every time I preach, the three S's. What is that, sir? He said, stand up, speak up, and shut up, he said. So, well, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 14 up to verse 24. If you have your Bible, please, and if you would stand with me to give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. In Acts chapter 16, verses 14 to 24, I'll be reading that, and please follow it with your eyes. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates. These men being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Tonight, I'd like to deliver a message on the subject, what should we do in difficult circumstances? What should we do in a difficult situation? Let us pray. Dear God, our gracious and our loving Father, thank you so much once again. And I covet, dear God, your power, and please speak to us, meet with us, and visit us once again tonight. I thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be here and share our ministry report about what you have done in the Philippines. Lord, I pray that you will just give us some insights of the Bible so that as we break the bread of life. All these things I ask and pray for the glory of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Again, thank you so much. Thank you for partnering with us in our ministry in the Philippines. And of course, through the leadership of Pastor John, please, he's God's man in this church. He's God's gift to this church. He's God's man. And please respect him with double honor, and pray for him. And I know, being a pastor like him, I got a lot of problems that my people don't know. So please do pray for him. And if ever you have time to just fellowship with him, please open. He might open his heart and share you his burden. And I appreciate him a lot. And it's my honor. The honor is mine, and my privilege to have a friend like him. Well, what we should do in impossible or difficult circumstances. By way of introduction, I'll tell you a story about the automobile genius Henry Ford, and who once came up with a revolutionary plan for a new kind of engine. Ford was eager to get his great new idea into production. He had some men draw up the plans and presented them to the engineers. And as the engineers studied the drawings, and one by one, they came to the same conclusion. Their visionary boss just didn't know much about the fundamental principles of engineering. He had to be told gently his dream was impossible. Ford said, "Produce it anyway." They replied, "But it's impossible." "Go ahead," Ford commanded, "and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time is required." For 6 months, they struggled with drawing after drawing, design after design, but nothing happened. Another 6 months, and yet nothing happened. At the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and they once again told him that what he wanted was impossible. Ford told them to keep going, and they kept on going. Eventually, they discovered how to build a V8 engine. You see, impossible deals with the tendency of human beings to put God in a box and limit his power by the walls of impossibilities they build up around themselves. But if we simply break down our walls, we can find out that nothing is impossible with God. In this passage, we can see that the Apostle Paul was in difficult situation. During Paul's first missionary journey, a sorcerer withstood him in Cyprus. Then the Jews envied him in Pisidia. Then the chief men of the city expelled him, and he was stoned in Lystra. And John Mark left him in Pamphylia. Barnabas, his co-worker, had sharp disagreement with him, and he got sick in Galatia. Then came Paul's second missionary journey, which is recorded in this passage that we have just read. And this time, he was beaten with many stripes, and was thrown in jail for casting out the spirit of a fortune teller. But despite these difficult circumstances, why could he still say in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, he could still say, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses number 6 and 7, Apostle Paul said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Oh, in despite the difficult circumstances that came across his way, he could still say these things. And I have noticed three things the Apostle Paul did, even in impossible or difficult situation. Number one, Paul prayed to God. Paul prayed to God. In verse number 25, it says here, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Apostle Paul had learned the importance of prayer. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." In 1 Thessalonians 5, 25, he said, "Brethren, pray for us." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, Apostle Paul said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, Apostle Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." He mentioned the word pray 45 times in his epistle, excluding the word intercession, petition, and supplication. Well, yes, Paul had learned the importance of prayer, especially in difficult situations. Oh, I read about the story of the man in the 17th century, the father of modern-day missions, by the name of William Carey. William Carey left the country of England and went to India. He spent 42 years of his life in India, and there he translated the Bible into 25 different languages. He started many churches. He started the Bible college in the city and trained a lot of nationals. Indeed, he was greatly used of God. Today, there are pastors and missionaries in India who stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because there was a man who invested his life in foreign missions. One day, somebody asked William Carey about the secret of his success in the ministry. Then William Carey replied, "The secret of my success in the ministry is my crippled sister back in England, because she would pray for me every day." Oh, beloved in the Lord, pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening, pray without ceasing. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, the reason why we sometimes are carrying load and we are burdened because we are not inviting Jesus to take up our yoke. And by the way, yoke is not only for one man, it is for two. Oh, what a blessing to have Jesus Christ as our yoke fellow. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit, the song says. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, prayer is the secret of Apostle Paul. Prayer is the secret of William Carey. And prayer can be your secret today. Amen. Oh, Apostle Paul still prayed to God, and that made him strong in difficult situations. And not only that, secondly, he also praised God in difficult situations. In verse number 25, that same verse, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." I read about the story of Fanny Crosby, who had been able to see only for her first 6 weeks of his life, or her life. Somebody asked about her blindness. Then she replied, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind," she said. "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." This sweet lady
Francis Jane Crosby wrote more than 9,000 hymns, including the first song that we sang tonight, I Am Thine, O Lord, some of which are among the most popular in every Christian denomination. She wrote so many that she was forced to use pen names, lest the hymnals be filled with her name above all others. And for most people, the most remarkable thing about her was that she had done so in spite of her blindness. And one of her favorite songs is this: Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. In Apostle Paul's captivity, he still praised God. In Fanny Crosby's incapacity, he still praised God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, the Bible said. Oh, speaking of praise, I have a convert in the Philippines, and she was the poorest among all the converts in our congregation. One day I visited her. I traveled 4 to 5 miles just to go to her place, and I found out that her place was just at the foot of the mountain. I found out also that her house was just a shack, a shanty, and only about 1/4 of this platform, and everything is there. Her bed is there, her table is there, the chairs are there, but I noticed that he has no TV, no refrigerator, no microwave, no radio, or no even electronic gadgets or whatever. She has nothing at all. But one thing I appreciate with this sweet lady: every Sunday morning, she would grab her two kids, her 3-year-old baby and her 5-year-old boy, and she would grab them, and she said, "Wake up! Let us go to church." And she would go to church, and she has no nice clothes, and she would wear flip flops, and she would walk 4 to 5 miles. And walk the dusty road and the muddy road, and while she was grabbing her two kids, she would walk the way singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," walking 4 to 5 miles just to go to our church. And when she got to our church, she would sit on that pew, and while I'm preaching, she would say, "Preach on, preacher, that message is for me." And she when I've done preaching, she would come forward and praise the Lord at the altar and kneel and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free." She was poor, but she was rich before the eyes of God. Oh, she can still praise God. Even she has nothing, she can still praise God. Oh, you know what? When I was a little boy, I've been watching you on TV, and there's a big question mark in my mind: why Americans are so big? In 1998, I found out the answer: you have a lot of food on your table. You have a lot of food on your refrigerator. You have a lot of food on the road, fast food there, fast food there. And you are so blessed people, my friend. But the Bible says, to him which is much given, much is required. Sometimes prosperity is a greater test of character than poverty. But my people, one thing I appreciate them is that despite they have nothing, they can still praise the Lord. Despite the difficult situation, Apostle Paul prayed to God, and he still praised God. And lastly, we can see here, Paul preached the Word of God. In verse number 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the Word of the Lord. Apostle Paul said about the Bible, he said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He also said in Hebrew chapter 4, I believe in verse number 12, he said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In our text, Paul preached to Lydia, and she got saved, and not only her, but her whole family. He also preached to the Philippian jailer, and he got saved, and his whole family. Don't you see? The word of God is powerful. The word of God is pure, perfect. This Bible is preserved. This is the reason why it is profitable. This King James Bible is profitable. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Isn't it that the word of God is profitable? That's why Apostle Paul, keep on preaching the word of God. Oh, try to memorize the word of God, for it is profitable for you. Oh, I love Psalm chapter 1. Brother Jay, I love this chapter. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Oh, I like that verse. I like that chapter. Not only that, I love Psalm chapter 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, isn't it that the word of God is profitable? Oh, I loved Psalm chapter 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." Why? For the Lord is good all the time. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Oh, the word of God is profitable indeed. Oh, I love chapter 121. Psalm of the degrees said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Oh, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." And in verse 8 it says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out from this, and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore." Oh, I like also 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. The Bible said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Isn't it that the word of God is correcting us? It is profitable. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Oh, the word of God is profitable. So, preach the word. The Apostle Paul continued preaching the word of God despite the difficult circumstances he was experiencing this time. Remember, when great works of God are accomplished in difficult times, God gets the glory. Perhaps God is telling you to start a work of faith for Him, and yet you are discouraged because it seems impossible. Well, impossible things are God's tools to display God's glory and power. Keep on keeping on. I believe that the greatest works of God are accomplished during the most limited times. In fact, some of the most financially intense projects recorded in the Bible took place during financial crisis. Number one, the wilderness tabernacle was constructed by laid off bricklayers. Not only that, the second temple was constructed by the refugees. And the first century church was funded by poverty-stricken Christians. You say, Brother June, you just don't know. We are in deep recession these days. Economics are very bad and Greece may fall. And what about Europe? And what about this? And what about that? But I say, what about the Bible? In the book of Luke, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. In the book of Acts, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God shall stand against immorality. The word of God shall stand against sin. The word of God shall stand against adultery, against idolatry. Oh, the word of God shall stand against iniquity. The word of God shall stand against economic crisis. Oh, the word of God is powerful indeed. Preach the word. He, Apostle Paul, preach the word. Preach the word of God despite the difficult situation. Dr. Lee Robinson, a great pastor for many years in Chattanooga, Tennessee, experienced great tragedy in his life. His baby daughter, Joy, died not long after she was born. He was serving the Lord, leading a church and faithfully preaching the word. Yet that did not mean he was exempt from suffering trials. Through this tragedy, Dr. Robertson led his church to establish a camp in memory of his daughter. At this camp, thousands of underprivileged children attended free of charge each year. They heard the gospel and learned that they were loved and important to God, and thousands were saved. If Dr. Robertson had become bitter against God because of the loss of his daughter, he would have missed his opportunity to be a blessing to so many people. It is not easy to go through a time of trials. The temptation is to feel that we are being treated unfairly some way when things don't go as we think they should be. But God's plans are far, far higher than ours. When we respond to pain with faith in Him, He uses even trials and tragedies to provide us great opportunities for service to others. Trials are a test of whether or not we truly trust God. We may say that we believe He knows all things and has all the power when things are going well. But when things do go wrong, do we still believe Him? Job said it this way, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? God always brings us what we need and what He knows is best. Trust Him in all circumstances because God can transform your trials into triumph. God can transform pain into prize. God can transform your cross to crown. So pray still. It will make you strong. Praise still. It will make you satisfied. And preach still. Take the word of God to the lost and dying world because it will make you a great soul winner. Oh, despite the circumstances, they did it and they made it. As I close, I'd like to share with you an experience of a friend of mine in Boone, North Carolina. He had been coming to the Philippines preacher since 2004. He would preach in the morning, he would preach in the afternoon, he would preach in the evening, and in between those schedules, he would go up to the mountain and open his King James Bible and preach to the village people. And he would hug the dirty, stink, and dusty children with their mucus and all that dirty in their bodies. But he would still hug them and gave them candies and preach the Word of God. And one day I asked him, "Preacher, are you not tired of doing this, all this?" And he said, "I'll never forget what he told me." He said, "I better be worn out than to be back in my country relaxed and rested." And when he was about to go to come back home to America, he was trying to give me a dollar bill, and I said, "I cannot accept it, preacher, because I noticed that you already gave some to my students, and you already gave some to my local pastors, and you already gave some to the village people, and you already bought hundreds of chairs in that village, and you have nothing to go with you, so I cannot accept it." But he said, "I insist. I have to give you this." "Why, sir?" He said, "Because I better be broke here than to go back to the United States rich. I want to give it all. I want to give it all." Just last month, I heard that he was sick. He got a prostate cancer. Few weeks later, I heard that he was in the hospice. It's good that we arrived April 9 last month, and we came to the hospice Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock with my wife, and we were on his bedside, but he was on the comatose. But my preacher friend said, "Just talk to him. I believe he would listen. He can still hear you." I grabbed his arm crying and said, "Preacher, we came here just to thank you, just to say thank you for investing your life in the Philippines. Thank you for your sacrifices. And don't ever forget this. You will never be forgotten, because there are hundreds of souls got saved under your ministry." 8 o'clock that night, he passed away. I attended his funeral the following Thursday. The funeral parlor was packed, and I was there standing for 2 hours just to give reverence to this man of God. And in his burial, his eldest son beckoned me, and he gave me this. He said, "June, I want to give you this." "What is that?" He said, "This is my father's. He gave it to me, and I'd like to give it to you." "What's the image? What is the shape of it?" He said, "It's a fish, because my father was a great fisher for men. Because of this preacher, despite his sickness, despite the difficult circumstances, he still prayed to God. Like Apostle Paul, he still praised the Lord, and he still preached the Word of God." After he died, I heard that God called his eldest son to preach. And right there, I told him, "I believe God's men don't die. They are just replaced. You might come to the Philippines anytime and continue the work of your father, which has started there." And he said, "If God will call me to do it, I will go."
they are not rich people, but they can still do it for the glory of God. And that's my message tonight. That's the message of God tonight. And thank you for allowing me to be here. But before I close, before I sit down, I'd like to share with you my burden. My wife and I just arrived to your country April 9 last month. But we had a hard time in Detroit, Michigan immigration point of entry. I introduced myself that I'm a missionary and just came to visit and preach to churches and share my knowledge about foreign missions. In spite of giving my personal information, they led me to the interrogation room and they asked me a lot of questions in a hostile manner and raised tone of voice. They even threatened me that they could send me back home to the Philippines. And it was the very first time I encountered such treatment in your country. So instead of giving us 6-month visit to your country, as we used to have before, they only gave us 7 weeks. It was such a shocking and traumatic experience. I don't really know why they only gave me a short period of time, but one thing I know for sure, God makes no mistakes. He knows my heart and my need. My missionary friends advised me to file an extension of stay, but I told them that I will stick to what the Lord has already planned for me. Although the road seems foggy this time, and I may not see the way ahead, but I know that there is a road there. I don't know what the Lord wants me to see in this difficult situation, but I firmly believe this. What God can do in 6 months, He can easily do the same with just 7 weeks. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, the reason why my wife and I are here in your country is because we have a great and pressing need, because we are under persecution. Because the church house, Brother Jay saw it, we have been, the church house that we have been renting before as a place of worship was locked by a village chairman. He is a Catholic and mean against Christians. We are now being humiliated and persecuted for our faith in Christ. But I want him to see that the God we are serving is a living God. This is the reason why my wife and I are here to your country. We are trying to raise $40,000 for us to be able to buy a piece of land, erect a building, and have our own place of worship. As of now, my wife and I are praying and looking for 4 churches or individuals that could give $10,000 one-time gift so that we can buy a piece of land, erect a church building, and have our own place of worship. Praise the Lord, this morning, the church that we have been to in Demarest, Georgia, promised us that one slot. So we are now only praying for 3 more churches. We have only 2 weeks to go. We are going to be back to the Philippines. We are booked on last week of May. We have only 2 weeks to go. And that's what we are praying today. 3 churches or individuals that could give $10,000 one-time gift, because I know it seems impossible, but with God, it is not. Again, thank you so much for letting us share our burden in the mission field. We also do hope and pray that you will be able to take part of our burden. I may not repay you, but there is one thing I can assure you, that someday up there in heaven, there will be brown-skinned Filipinos that will come to you and embrace you tightly and say, thank you for your compassion for brown-skinned Filipinos. Thank you for extending your help. Thank you for giving to the Lord. And that's all. God bless you. To God be the glory.